on the way to church this morning, a thought just come to my mind. All of you knows the story of Stephen and how the message that he brought and how displeased the people were with him and that they stoned him. And I want to read the 58th verse in this 7th chapter of Acts. Well, let's start at 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And as I was on my way to church, I was thinking about what it's going to be like to go to heaven, what it's going to be like to see the people there that we've met here on earth. And this thought come to my mind of Stephen. And when him and Saul meets for the first time, what must be going through Stephen's mind to know just exactly what was taking place there, as no doubt he already knew who Saul was because he was persecuting the church. But there as he fell beneath the stone, maybe even Saul, face was the last face that he had looked upon, and he felt and what he was praying and how it registered upon Saul, because when he became Paul, how he remembered that I was there when they stoned Stephen. I was there taking care of the coats of those that stoned Stephen, and I was just thinking about what the conversation would be. He couldn't continue as he had been, but that he had to change the way he was living, and he become persecuted the same as Stephen was because he was standing for the same thing. And you know, look at the difference there it made. And Stephen, what he was seeing there, that was standing before him, and in such a short time, as there, Paul began to come back to these same places, preaching Christ and him crucified. Those that he had been persecuted, Paul had to come back. No doubt there were people, maybe still in prison, because of the persecution of Paul, and what he had done. For the very thing that Paul turned around and come back to preaching. Oh, what a difference it made. When our comes to know God and just think of the rejoicing that would be going on there in heaven and those that stood and were persecuted turn around to see a little one that had persecuted them standing there because of the gospel that he came. You and I, we don't realize those that laugh and make fun, how they might look at us today, but how our life can change the life that they live, because it can register upon them in ways that our words may have a hard time reaching them. You know, there's no record of it, how much that Paul thought about the words that Stephen said. But don't you know that it must have been registering on him pretty heavy. And even more so after he come to know God. You know, there as he was blind for those 3 days. I wonder if he wasn't doing a lot of praying and repenting to God for the things he done. Because why did God say, on Ananias, behold, he prays. He knew that, although he was concerned, he realized what he had done. Paul realized when Christ come and spoke to him there, that he was on the wrong road. He needed a chance. And Paul surely proved, not only did he have a change of mind, but he had a change of heart. Boy, he changed up what he had done, and he wanted to go back to the very best that he could, and go back to the very places where he had been, and preach Christ. You and I, that takes bravery that most people don't have. Not a lot of people today, they don't even have enough backbone to apologize when they've done something wrong. But to go back and stand before people that you had persecuted, you know, people were so afraid of Paul that they wouldn't, when they heard of him, they didn't trust that his conversion was real. They were thinking that he's just trying to trick somebody to get them brought in. But after a while, the Spirit reached out, and they could see it was real. You and I today, it makes no difference what the world thinks about us. If we have the Holy Spirit on the inside, it will reach out and testify to that it's real. But you just see a lot of people that talk about, and I've heard people make the joke, I don't want to go to heaven, there's nothing to do there. What do you say of a service line? The service is good. When Paul and Stephen with me, what would bring forth there? And they're playing out all over heaven, time and time and time again. No wonder they're going to be shouting and praising God. No wonder there'll be people there jumping up and down and rejoicing. Why? No wonder that never again will the devil have any power over us. No wonder they'll be rejoicing the Lord. Never again can he cause us any trouble. We can enjoy the things of God. After all, for thousands of years, if you can mark here. But I'm so thankful to God. You and I, when we enter there,
never again will we have to leave. Or, you know, isn't it depressing when you're in a real good service and it comes time that you have to go, the service ends and it's time to go home? Isn't it depressing to walk away from something that's so wonderful and yet you know you have no choice? You have to. But when we get to heaven, you don't ever have to walk away. You can stay there for all of eternity, just rejoicing. And you know, the thing I like about it, the world here, they might not understand what it's like to really serve God. They might not comprehend the things of the Spirit. But I am so thankful that when we get to heaven and this life is over, the things that we have never been able to communicate or put into words to anybody, there everybody will know. You know, that I've never been able to even communicate to another Christian, that I felt like I could tell them what was really in me, what I wanted to say, because I just didn't know the words. When we get there, you can look over to that other person and know just what's in their heart. Know just what's in their mind. You and I today, God has made it possible that this place, it's only a dressing place. It's just a place for us to prepare to go to a place that we never have to leave. Just a place to prepare to go to and live where God is. And He gave us His control. He loved us enough to make the way. And He's just waiting for us to accept it. There's Stephen. He could have knocked on and maybe a spared his life. Well, he wouldn't have came to say he would have lost everything of faith. But you find that I've often as I read the scripture, there's Stephen. He didn't know that he was prepared for him to leave this world. When he began to look up and see what was there, it was because he was coming to get him. He was just getting ready to leave here to go into eternity. You and I today, we don't know when our time is coming to go, but isn't it wonderful to know that we can be prepared? We can know that it's all right between us and God. We don't have to be afraid. Just as Stephen testified, if all at the end is high, we can know beyond the shadow of any doubt that our heart is right with God, and that this life here is so short and so fragile.
Yes, it is.
You know, through the internet, we've come in contact with people that there would have been no way we would have ever known anything about them, or they would have ever known anything about us. But we come in contact with them and have grown to love them and care very deeply for them and their families. But then there's probably a lot of people that's listed that we will never know here. That maybe some message that goes out, some word that goes out, and it's just what they needed to hear when they were facing a battle, and we may never know anything about it until we get to heaven, and we come across that person, and they begin to tell us about how some message, some word that was said, how it was given the strength and the encouragement that they needed, just like when I get to sit down and talk to Stephen and Paul. All the words that I've got to say to them about the way that their life went and what encouragement it was to me when the storms of this life began to rain, just to know that what waits for me is what was waiting for them. Though I feel so unworthy of it, it's not worth even preaching about what little things I've done for God in comparison to what they've done. But yet God still said heaven will be open unto whosoever will. And you and I, that included us. You know, I heard that I was coming to church, a man saying that he's little and sort of like if he's standing there waiting for heaven's gate to open, that he's going to be kicking people in the shins to get up the front of the line because he wants to be one of the first ones in. And, you know, I was just thinking there's something wrong there, because why would you be kicking your brothers and sisters in Christ in the shin? I don't care if they go in ahead of me or not, just as long as I'm in that line going in, I'll be wonderfully satisfied. People talk about, I'm going to have a mansion in heaven. I don't need a mansion because I love it outside, and if God's got a bench there beside the street with my name on it, I'll be just as content as I can be to sit there. Because why do you need a house to go in when you're there in the holy city where God's alive? I won't want to be inside. I want to be there at the throne or wherever God is or in His holy city. And you and I today, people, we get the wrong thoughts in our mind. We get selfish about it. Why can't tell God said, whosoever will you wait for me. I'm on my way. I'm determined to see what God has prepared for us. Is to talk to some of those that went on. You know, I've known a lot of good Christian people in my life. And some of them was so special to me that I know that I'm going to be looking for them when I get there. And, you know, I've mentioned this many times, D.M. Creed in North Carolina, Herman C. Graves down there in North Carolina, both of those was men that I was just a kid. And even after got grown and went back down there and was pastoring a church in North Carolina myself, Liam Creed come and led singing there something for me. And he was an old man at that time, and his voice at times would crack. But I can remember back when I was a kid. At that time, I thought he was an old man. But oh, what a voice he had and how he loved to sing. And you could go into his little old shoe shop down the side of the street. There, down there. I can remember as a kid, he'll repair my shoes so many times. He put hand soles on them, heels on them. And oh, how he takes us care to polish them up and fix them. They weed scuffed and wore out. When they come back, they look better almost than new. And the soles he would put on will last longer than the brand new one. And every time you go in there, somewhere or another, that car, if not several places, will be him book laying over. Ever him running the machine and seeing him. They don't ever do come in. He didn't need any music. He just start off singing and sing to the praises of God. Down that come from his heart. Call me loaded when I flee. When we get over there, he gonna be singing there with a perfect voice again. You and I down here, the people we be, we can afford to be a widow in that holy city. But most of all, those that lived the life in front of me, that was an example. Getting to walk with them up to the throne of God and see for ourselves what we was only able to feel here in our heart. Each and every one of us. You know, when someday when we're sort of feeling down because of things not going right, whatever the reason might be, just start thinking about things like this. What it would be like to sit and listen to the conversation of Stephen and Paul. Or sit and listen and talk to Moses. Some of those old prophets back in the Old Testament. Of Jeremiah. Of Ezekiel. Just like to ask Ezekiel, what was it? What did you think? What you was seeing and writing down there? What did you think that was really meaning? Did you really understand what you were writing down? You and I, each one of us, and we'll just stop and say, God is always right there watching over each and every one of us. He's able to provide, even when we can't. He proved that there in the Bible, time and time again. So when you get your mind up on it, that thing we're facing today, my God still lives and and is in control. He's able to still feed us today, just like he did the children of Israel. People, they read over that and they never stop to think what a mighty miracle that was. That was way over a million people that he was feeding every day there for 40 years, and they went through the wilderness. Not only there,
They could have found food enough out there unless my God was doing it. So what is it to take care of us and our family? It's a small thing. And if we'll just believe, he said all things are possible. And when this life is over, to be able to go and experience, if there was a time limit on it, if we only got to be in heaven as long as our life is here, boy, wouldn't it still be worth living for? It'd be worth. But he said, once you go in, there's no end. It's for eternity. Man cannot comprehend eternity. You know, I was reading an encyclopedia about stars this last week, and it was talking about how far some of them are. And our closest star is like 4.5, I think it is, light years from us. So that's traveling, I think it's 186,000 and some miles per second. And it takes you 4.5 years to get there. That's a long way. Well, then they've got them out there that they have some way or another figured out that they're out there over 1,000 light years. Isn't it wonderful to think of a God so mighty that He created that? And you know, light years is something that star that they're seeing out there that says after 1,000 or so light years, if it had quit shining, some of them that they've seen, if they had quit shining back when Christ was walking here on the earth, the light, we would still be seeing it because it hadn't traveled far enough to go out yet. And then think, God created something that vast. No wonder man can't comprehend eternity. Because there is absolutely no end to God. And He said, when we go there, we're going to be with Him for all of eternity. So, you know, I can't comprehend a lot of it because our mind, everything that we've ever known has an end to it. But the promises of God are so real that each one of us, we need to take hold of them. And when the devil tries to make you think that, you know, life is unfair, you're not being treated right, and trying to get you down, just think of all the things that await you and just hold on to the hand of God and see if you don't get lifted up. Just start thinking about, if you're going to imagine something, start imagining the conversation between you and some of these people in the Bible. If you've read Paul's writing and it was really special to you, or you've read some of the other apostles' writing and it's really special to you, and maybe helped you through something, what you'd like to say to them when you see them. You get to thinking about that, and the first thing you know, an hour has passed by, and you forgot why you were feeling down because you just feeling on top of the world. You and I today, God is still real and He's waiting on each and every one of us to just reach out to Him that we might experience true salvation. And we're living in a world that I guess probably thinks that most Christian people or true born-again Christian people are weird. But when I look at the world and the shape it's in, I really think the world is weird this day and time. The decisions and the choices that they're making when they're so much better offered to us. You know, when you look at the choices that most people are doing and accepting here in this life, it's just like a person being given a choice of going in and sitting down at the table of the king or going out and eating
with the hogs. And yet most of the world is choosing to go and eat with the hogs because they think that that's going to be good enough.
And God's got so much better for us. I thank God for each and every one of you's attention. If there's something in your life that you want to pray about before we turn the service over to Daryl, will you come? You know, each one of us, we can look around at the world and the shape it's in today and see it's not going to continue on. God has predicted that it's going to come to an end. And He's predicted just how it's going to come to an end. And we might think that, oh, we've got a long time to go. We don't know that. You know, in my life, I've known of several people that thought they was in perfectly good health. And they just dropped over dead. You might think because, just as Cassie was mentioning there, you might think because somebody died in your family that it'll be a long time before anybody else goes, and it might be several going in a very short time, and you could be one of them. Just the other day, Carol and I, as we were coming home from town, and heard the obituary of a man that we knew, and I told her, I said, boy, it's amazing how many people that, since we've been out here, that we've met, that is gone. You know, time don't wait for nobody. Her life is so short. Let's make sure that we latch on to that is certain. Life, you have no promises tomorrow. But God has given you a promise and a guarantee of life when this life is over if you live for Him here.